I'm kind of going along with the, I actually had two topics mentioned that I was going to be talking about, and the one I picked seemed to go over very well at the conference. And so I'm kind of reverting back now to one that I was continuing, asking the question, why did God create? And we know that the Lord can reveal truth from some and hide truth from others, his enemies. We know he did that with parables. And we know that he has that option always to, he's really trying to speak to the saints, those that are in Christ, and those who truly want to do what he is asking us to do, which is to be more like Christ. Ultimately, we learn about God the Father through the Son, and so if we can continue to do that, then continue to learn more about Christ, then the more and more we know about the Father. We know there are different rules and different guidelines for the Father, for the Heavenly Father, and for the Holy Spirit, and for Christ who took on a human form. So, the first 31 verses of Genesis 1, I haven't read that, but it does give us a really good example of, I think the emphasis I'm going to put on this tonight is the fact that he's a creator. There's words like God is light, God is love, God is our one who enlightens us. God is one who wants to encourage us, and he wants us to be more like him. And so with that, it says in the beginning he created the heaven and the earth. And so, of course, he did this before there was anything else. So he says the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. But that's another thing that God is. God is light, and there's no darkness in him. So whenever we see that, we need to think in our minds. I'm thinking about doing a study where I'm just going to answer the question where it talks about light. And or where it talks about love. He goes on to say, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Of course, any place God is not, it's dark. It's only light where he is and where he casts his light. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. And he divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning of the second day. As you're noticing, the human has not come into the picture yet. It goes on in verse 9, it says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry ground of dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters called the seas, and God saw that it was good. That's another thing you're going to notice on this when God creates, that he actually gives his approval. Whatever it is that he has created. So he's created it the way he wanted it. You know, there's some that say that the planet is 6 billion years old. And it's possible it could be because he could have created it any way he wanted to. And I think he created it to appear to be over. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit trees yielding fruit of it after his kind. And the seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielded seed after his kind. That's another thing that he does. He creates these, whatever they are, in such a way that they can reproduce, and they reproduce with others of like kind. In the tree yielding fruit, the seed was in itself after this kind, and God saw that it was good. And he goes on to say, in the evening and the morning of the third day, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be signs and for seasons. So there's always a reason why he does this, these things whenever he creates. He says, and they're also created for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So it says it, so it was. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, which we know is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. It says he made the stars also. And we also know that the moon is taken into that too. So it says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And so God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, the other to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God said, them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the life and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So I have to say he's creating this earth for mankind, and that he is providing the different things that he's creating to help us. It says, God said in verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. So there's another thing that God is. God is life. I thought about this as I was teaching on my other lesson that I gave at the conference. There is no life without the Lord. It doesn't happen. We have the life in us, the Neshama spirit. So it's very important that we remind ourselves that what we have here, the life that we have, is temporary. But the life that he is intending us to have is eternal life. Life for the ages. And so we need to consider that too and think about that. It's really not our life. We don't have it. We don't have power. It's borrowed or it's lent to us. While we're here, while we're alive. He says, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. He's got a great imagination, God does, and he's created a lot of different kinds of creatures, and as he views it, they're all good. He's going to have Adam name all these creatures. 22, he says, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, that is, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth among his kind, and it was so. So as you notice, we still don't have the man in the picture yet. He says in 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after the kind, everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind, and God saw that that was good. Verse 26, finally, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So one of the reasons he created man is for us to have dominion. That's a position that Satan would like to have. He has some dominion, but he doesn't have the dominion that we have. And the Lord reserved that for man. So it says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. So I think there's a lot of similarities in between the way the Lord wants us to think and act and live. He wants us to put him first, have him to be the perfect example. And then as a result of that, he can reward us, which he wants to do. About everything that God does when it comes to us as believers in Christ, he's doing for our benefit. He says, and it's also the image of God, created he him. Now we know God really is invisible. And Christ right now is invisible. But when he appears, we're going to appear with him. And so to me, ultimately, that was the goal that he's working towards. So he says, and God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, where there is life. So animals have life. And the combination of having a body and having life within us is what God calls a soul. So we don't own a soul, but we are a soul because we meet the same criteria that they do. We're able to consume, we're able to move, we're able to think, we're able to believe and have faith. All those types of things are what God was intending for us. So he says he's given every herb for meat, it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. See, that's a little different than what he said about the others. The others, he said they were good. This, what he did on the sixth day, he considered to be very good. It's like it was the ultimate purpose. He says in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Our next place we want to read is in John 1:14. This book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke represent God in a very different light. This particular book of John, the Gospel of John, presents him as God. So it starts out by saying, in the beginning was the Word. Another thing the Lord is. And we're very, very, very thankful that he has given us the Word to study, to read, to rightly divide, and to understand so we can understand God more. He says the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So he's not only giving us a life, but he's also giving us enlightenment. That's what I see with this word, light. He says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He goes on to say there was a man sent from God, whose name is John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So that's one of his many goals for mankind, is for us to believe and then have faith. There is even though there commentaries make the word believe and belief and faith the same, they are in fact much, much different. We typically need to, well, there's some that can believe a lie with all their heart, and they can't have any faith in that, because the faith comes from God. It comes from His Word. So it's important that we keep these things separated, even though when they're said in the English, they seem to be very, very similar. So he says that all men through him might believe he was not that light, because this was John the Baptist, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So this is Jesus Christ, that he being introduced, but he's not accepted. They seem to think that they know who his mother and father are, and so therefore he can't be God. But he goes on to say that he came into his own, and his own received him not. There have been some suggested this is just Israel. I think it has to do with all mankind. I think the context dictates that it's more than just Israel and those that want to follow that particular faith, because that's what God chose, Abraham and then all his seed. So they followed him. They became a great nation. But he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I think the believing comes first. I think the faith comes next. But I think once we have Christ dwelling in us, we're as close as we can possibly be with being able to understand and know more about the Father, more about the Son, and more about what the Holy Spirit does. It takes three in one to meet all the qualifications that God has. He says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. That's another thing God is. He's grace. He can deal with us in grace. Unmerited favor, something we don't deserve, but something he wants to give us anyway. And it's full of grace and truth. He says, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. And he was before me. So he existed, he's saying, John's saying, before I did. He says that, and of his fullness have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's like he filled up that which Moses had not taught. But he did the extra, gave that extra information. So it says, no man has seen God at any time. It's because he's invisible. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So there's a working with the Son and the Father, who both explain the roles that they have as creator. If we go back to, I don't want to do that. We go to Genesis 2:7, we get into that discussion I just had about the soul. Genesis 1:26-27, we get the conversation with the first person, which was Adam. And, Adam really was the one who was created in God's image. There's another way in which reproduction happened after, Eve came on the scene, and God took a rib out of Adam and created Eve, his helpmate. And so now I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18,
7 commandments in 3, verse 18, and it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. So that's another thing that God is. He's the Father, He's the Son, and He's also the Spirit, actually the Holy Spirit. And He says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Remember the verse that says the truth will set you free? You're not free to do anything you want. What you're free to do is to do the truth, to glorify the Father, to glorify the Son, to glorify the Holy Spirit. So that ability to be able to do that, I think that connection, that fellowship that the Lord wants to have with those that are His, all results from the way He's working these things out, the way He created us, and the way He wants to give us liberty to do that which is right. You know, we're living in a world right now where it seems like it's hard to even try to understand what is right and what's wrong. We've got things all backwards. What things used to be right or wrong, what things used to be wrong or right. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. I think that's another thing, even though He's invisible, we can still see what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to continue to do. And so that gives us an image, or gives us a thought process of why He created. He says, glory of the Lord are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, 2 Corinthians, that was 3:18. The next one is 2 Corinthians 4:4. Don't have to read as much here. It says in 4:4, in whom God, whom the God of this world, you notice that's a little G there, and you know the God of this world is not, right now, He's not the God of the world. Satan is. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And He delights in doing that, in blinding us, in leaving out a word or adding a word in Scripture to get us to believe a lie. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. It's another thing that Jesus Christ is. God is, if you think about it. And so He's a servant. He's humble. He doesn't claim any of His rights as a king, as a Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But He is all those things. He just doesn't, while He's here on the earth, He doesn't claim these positions, but rather He claims that He's a servant, and He is. He's a perfect servant. The next one is in Colossians 1:15. It says, I need to read verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. So I think when God is trying to make Himself known, He becomes a man, Christ Jesus, and He gives an infant part of the image that can be seen. The invisible God can be seen as the Son. He says He is the firstborn of every creature. By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. By the way, we find in another place that he does everything he does for his own pleasure. He has a desire. He doesn't make people believe, but rather he gives them an opportunity, a chance. He reconciled them so they can be saved, so they can have life. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, a physician that he is. He is the before all things. Nothing else existed before he started creating this universe. By him, all things consist, or it means everything is held together. And he is the head of the body, church. Another thing that he kind of chose first, but he did last, is he says, who is the image of the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the preeminence, as he should. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated, enemies of your in your own mind by wicked works, yet now as he reconciled. Reconciled means that it's taken away every reason why you couldn't be saved. He died for your force on the cross. He's buried. He's in the grave for three nights, 3 days. And then we know when he came out that meant that sacrifice that he made for us. By the way, he was the sin offering. Accomplished that goal where we could be reconciled. He says in 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, do not move away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made. It's probably far enough there. Let's go to Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which, by the way, all of us who are body members are part of the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I think that's as far as I need to read there. It gets into this, I'm talking about some of the things that were more Jewish, things that they were had to do, but that's already been done for us because he was circumcised. The next one we want to read is in Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. And I want to read the first 10 verses. It says, God, who at sundry times, in diverse manners, it just means in various times and in different manners, he spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. See, that's a different viewpoint when he's speaking through the Son. Than it is when he's doing it as God's Father. He says, whom he has appointed heir of all things, with whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name, they. And you know, about a third of the angels fell, but I think he's obviously better than all the angels, not just those that fell, but also those who believe and faith in him. Verse 5 says, for him to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And the answer to that question Yes. No, he didn't. When he came to who he needed to be his son, it's Jesus Christ. None of the angels qualified. I know that Satan wanted our position, but it wasn't available to him. He wasn't qualified. That position was Christ. That's the position he had. He says again, when he brings in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, who make his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever, ever, the sepulcher of righteousness is the sepulcher of thy kingdom. In other words, everything that he does, everything that Christ does, is righteous and holy and right. So we can't really, we can't question his judgment, so we shouldn't. We ought to believe them and believe that they're for mankind's benefit, but mainly body members. The saints that have the hope and calling that we have. God has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even the God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Verse 10 says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hands. So the reason that's important as a creator is he wanted this earth to be like paradise, like heaven on earth. And he created this earth. Let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continue, make the comers thereof perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come into the volume of the book, it is written, to do thy will. But when he said sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, offerings of sin, thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which offered. In other words, when he actually died there on the cross, that one sacrifice that he made was the only one that accomplished everything the Lord wanted for mankind. Because he died for all their sins. His life, his birth, his life, his death, everything they did was for us. That should humble us some. That should make us appreciate what God has done. It looks to me like, time-wise, that I should be done. So I am going to stop and appreciate Ronnie getting me on, where I could at least speak and fulfill which I need to apologize for. The last time I was supposed to speak, I had some stuff come up at the family, and I ended up not performing as I should have. So I apologize for that. And I got moved in. Tony did some rearranging to get me in on this particular day, and I'm happy that he did that. And I trust that you guys can forgive me for that, and that I'll try to do better in the future. So with that, I'm going to close with a quick prayer, and then Ronnie wants to open. I can't get in to see what Ronnie and what comments are, so it's a damn very not necessary, but But I'm gonna throw this and probably go ahead and just pick up. So Heavenly God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that is meaning, it has meaning for us, more so as we study your word, more as we try to be more like you, have the mind of Christ, more that we try to imitate how Paul acted and reacted. His statement there on the Damascus Road, it was, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, reveal to him what his future is going to be like and the sacrifices that he was going to make. And if the Lord would have us to make some small sacrifices as needed, we ask that he would help us to be willing, that we would want to be approved, that we would want to not be, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, ashamed for not looking correctly as he has admonished us. So with that, I want to thank each of you that came our way. And listen, I hope this some of these thoughts will permeate your thinking and it might help you to be a better witness for Christ. And that's all in our Savior's name. For us. Amen.